This is I Ask They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Hamner into the stretch, and the two fillies are 1-2, Magical and Enable. And they kick on from Sattler's Joy. It's Enable on the outside, in the center of the turf course. She has taken the lead, and she's pulling away from Magical, who continues to battle her, though. It's these two, 1-2, down to the finish. Enable and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enable and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. Magical was second and was a long way back to Sattler's Joy. And Arclow, Enable has done it.
Well, Enable provided champion jockey Frankie Dettori with one of many memorable wins on American soil. In the 2018 Breeders' Cup Turf, Larry Colmus had the call. Dettori announced this week he will postpone his expected retirement to ride full-time in the U.S. next year. What should we expect to see from the 52-year-old rider in 2024? Plus, is Mike Rapoli right or wrong when he says it's time the owners took back this game? And what are some of the greatest comeback stories in racing history? Those topics and much, much more are straight ahead on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with turf writer Tim Wilkin and the return of trainer Dale Romans. It all starts just 30 seconds from right now after this word from the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Well, guys, Jake Romans did a tremendous job pinch hitting for his dad the past couple of weeks, but it is with great pleasure that we announce the return of the man at the head of the Romans Empire and still the undisputed leader of the Showdown 2. He is trainer Dale Romans, and he is back with us here this morning. Dale, happy to have you back on board, my friend.
Well, it's good to be back, and I want to thank Jacob for doing a good job and filling in for me and for you guys letting him fill in. That was good for him.
Timmy, that apple doesn't fall far from the tree with Jake, does it?
No, it doesn't. It bounces very high when it hits the ground. For a minute, I thought I was talking to Dale. Jake did a great job when he was filling in. It was refreshing to get a different Roman's perspective.
Yeah, it was good for Jake because he's had a little bit of problem public speaking. He gets a little nervous, but I think it did him a lot of good, and I was very proud of him. I listened to you guys.
Yep.
You're going to critique it now, aren't you?
Well, I do have to fix one problem. Both of you messed up and talking about trainers and owners nominating for the Breeders' Cup and who missed out, who did the wrong thing. And neither one of you were right. The Breeders' Cup nominations are done by the owners the breeders, not the owners that end up owning them. When they go through the sale, it'll be at the bottom and it'll say Breeders' Cup nominated. And if an owner doesn't put up to $500 or $600 when they're a very young foal, then they're not nominated, and you can't get them in without paying that big bonus. So the filly we're talking about, it had nothing to do with the owner and trainer unless they bred the horse. If they bred the horse and didn't do it, well, that's their own fault.
Well, I guess we get a flunk grade on that, huh?
You get an F on that, and I was very disappointed. I've gone 2 weeks, and it goes to hell in a handbasket.
Tim, we made it sound good. We said it with conviction.
You said a lot of words, all three of you. You said a lot of words. I'll say that for you. The three of you did. Not one word was right. And also, a little side note to this is the breeder gets a piece of the purse when if they bred a winning Breeders' Cup horse, they get a pretty good chunk of money. And it's supposed to, you know, now so many of them are Breeders' Cup nominated that but it will take away from some of them's value when they're at the yearling sale and you're looking, and you know, if you end up, everybody thinks they're buying a champion. So if you're looking at it and they're not Breeders' Cup nominated, it may cost you some money in the sale.
All right, Dale Roman's clearing things up in his return to I Ask, They Answer here this morning. Guys, several topics coming up. We're going to leave some time for the West Point of the Week at the end of the show, as we do every week. But let's kick it off with an email we received from Dan in Florida. And I'll remind listeners, if they have a topic or a question they want each of you to answer or debate, they can send it directly to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and we'll work it in. That's what Dan in Florida did. And Dan wants to know, he was at Tampa betting Belmont and noticed on the screen from Laurel that they listed the horse's weight, something he had never seen before. Is there any way to keep track of the weight? And even more, is there a reason to? Dale, you want it first?
Yeah, let me take that one. I'm going to refer to Hong Kong. You know, only raced there one time, but I found it very interesting that every horse gets weighed either that I think it's the day before the race, either the day before or the day of the race, and they keep track of the weight. And it may be a good handicapping tool if you see big weight swings, or a horse maybe ran a real hard race and he's coming in 50 pounds lighter than he was the race he ran big. Maybe it knocked him out. If they're coming in a little heavy off the layoffs and you can see their weight consistently. And Astronic Group was the first in America I've seen do that. They were trying it out a little bit at Gulfstream. I didn't know they were still doing it in Maryland. But, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea for U.S. to start doing more of that. And I don't have one, but I know there's a few guys around the backside that have a scale, and they'll weigh them for training to see if they're dropping weight. Usually you can tell by eye, but it is a handicapping tool, they say, is a big part of handicapping in Hong Kong. And that's the only other place I've been that did it on a consistent basis. But if you had to wait in the racing form every race, just like you have a speed figure, and you can see a fluctuation, I think that would be a good handicapping tool and something that could be talked about.
Yeah, I agree. It would probably be a good handicapping tool if you had the horse's weight from every race listed in the form, you know, if it fluctuates up and down or if it stays the same. It would be more work for somebody. Maybe that's why they don't do it at every track, because I got to imagine that would be something that would take an awful lot of time. And but yes, as far as a handicapping tool, I think it would be awesome.
Dan in Florida, appreciate that and appreciate you listening each and every week. He emails the show quite often to tell us how much he enjoys it. Keep those emails coming, mike@horseracingradio.net, with your questions and topics for Dale and Tim. How about this one, guys? Champion jockey Frankie Dettori took everyone by surprise this week when he announced that instead of wrapping up his farewell tour at the end of this year and riding off into the sunset, he will postpone his retirement and ride full-time in the U.S. next year. Dettori is now 52 years old. What should we expect to see from Dettori in 2024? Timmy?
Yeah, you know, I was surprised a little bit that he did say that after he announced his retirement. But, you know, he knows his body better than we do, and he must think he can still compete. You know, this past year he was third in the standings at Santa Anita. He's still a very competitive rider. And I know one thing he wants to do is win a Kentucky Derby. He's never won a Kentucky Derby. I think he's only running it once. And, these athletes, these jockeys, they keep themselves in such great shape. You look at some of the guys that are still doing it. Like Mike Smith is 58. Johnny V is 51, and he's 10th in earnings right now. I mean, other guys that are still riding, Stuart Elliott's from Smarty Jones fame is 58. He's riding. John Cord is 62. I think Frankie Dettori takes care of himself in such a way that he feels that, you know, he's still got something left in the tank, and he doesn't want to be sitting on the sidelines wondering what if he would have quit. He still thinks he can do it, so why not? I expect him to be a very competitive guy, and I don't know if he's not going to get hundreds of mounts and like he used to, but he's going to pick and choose, and I think he'll do okay.
He can ride any horse of mine at any time, anywhere in the world. He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, worldwide rider of all time, and a good guy, a good man. And it didn't surprise me at all. There was no way I thought, as well as he's still riding, that he was going to retire. He just loves it too much. I think that was a lot of political stuff going on over in Europe, and it makes some sense for him to come here and stay. You know, the reason he's never ridden as many in at Derbies, is that I don't remember which race it is, but there's a huge race the same weekend in Europe, and he is always over there riding it. I asked him to ride my horse, Cyclone Mischief, in the Derby this year, and he couldn't do it. He had to go over there. And I've only ridden him two times, and we got a win. He contacted me when the Pegasus was running the Gulfstream and wanted to ride something on the dirt to test it out before the race. He didn't want to just go into it blind. And so I said, sure, Frank, I'll ride you on the dirt, but you got to ride my horse. I own myself and a 25 claimer on the turf for me. And one of the greatest rides I ever gotten by anybody. But I told him that morning, I said, whatever, if we win, don't do that flying dismount. I don't want you spraining your ankle before a $12 million race. That's where it was, $12 million. As soon as we got into the winner's circle, he told the groom, straighten his head, and there went the flying dismount. And it's one of the finest pictures I've got. Frankie Dettori straight up in there with his arms up. And when I saw him later that day, he had the picture in his hand. He said it's the first race he'd ever won at Gulfstream, and he was taking that home. So I'm on Frankie's wall, and I'm pretty proud of that.
It's a great story. And I think that I will probably echo the sentiments of a lot of racing fans out there. Yes, it took us by surprise that Frankie was going to continue riding next year, but I think all of us are happy to be able to see a few more flying dismounts before he ends up hanging it up for his career. What a remarkable rider, fantastic person, and a great career.
Yeah, you know, he stole that from Angel Cordero, though. He's the first one I ever
saw. Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that. Angel used to do that all the time.
Who did it better?
Mm-hmm. Well, Angel was pretty good.
Angel was good, but Angel may be one of the few we can put in the conversation as great a rider worldwide as Frankie. But I think Frankie's got a little more skill at the dismount.
I'll take Cordero. I thought he always had a lot of lift.
Cordero's good at everything he's ever done.
Cordero could probably still do it. And he's what, 80?
He probably could. I played pickleball with him all summer. He's 80 years old, and he's 81 now, but he was 80 then and moved around better than anybody on there. And we were playing one day, and Terry Finley was on Angel's team and ran over him. And Angel flipped over about three times, and he jumped up, and he said, one thing I do know how to do is fall.
I love it. The legendary jockeys, Angel Cordero, Frankie Dettori. Frankie, all the best in 2024. When you return here to the U.S. It's going to be fantastic. Okay, guys, we welcome our good friend Nick Zito to the program at this time with this week's edition of Right or Wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, and we're going to go one topic this week on Right or Wrong, and it involves leading owner Mike Rapoli, who was back in the headlines this week, calling for all thoroughbred owners in the U.S. to band together, saying, quote, it is time the owners took back this game. Guys, is Rapoli's stance right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Timmy?
I think it's right. You know, a lot of people do the talk, but I think Mike will do the walk with it. I mean, he is adamant about the game needing a change, and he wants owners to, like he says, take the game back. You know, he likens it to the NBA owners or the NHL, the NFL owners, MLB owners that kind of run the sport. There's always still going to be some roadblock because the tracks are not owned by the owners. They're owned by the tracks. So there's some things there that have to be, figured out because, you know, it all goes back to two when we've talked at length about having a commissioner in the game. But I think that if Mike is able to band these people together and people act on this, not just listen to it and do things about it, I think it's going to be good for the game.
Yeah, I talked to Mike a long time this week, and, he's got some good ideas, and the things he's talking about are things we probably should have been doing a long time ago. And I don't think he's talking about major, major changes. I think he's just talking about fixing it and making it some more continuity and more accountability for some people who work in the game. But anytime you get smart, powerful, wealthy people involved in their business, the better the business will be. And there's no doubt that Mike is one of the smartest guys around. And he's got some great ideas. He said he has a big announcement coming out Breeders' Cup week. I can't wait to hear that. And I want to be involved. I want to help him. I own as many horses as anybody in my barn.
Would you guys agree that a new organization in the sport doesn't necessarily take care of things, but if you can get everybody rowing in the same direction, that's what will get it done. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. I think that's more about what he's talking about, that we're all on the same page doing things the same ways in every state, and everybody's held a little more accountable, and we're licensing some people that that haven't been licensed before so that they have oversight. And the changes he's talking about are things that really should have been done a long time ago, and getting everybody in line. And I think that he's the right man to do it. He's putting his money where his mouth is. He's self-funding whatever happens. I don't think he's talking about a big organization change or a new organization. I think he's talking about just fixing the one and getting everybody on the same page.
And he wants to do things. He wants to. It's not just one area. It's like every aspect of racing, the gamblers,
right. 2-year-old media, sales, everything. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. I hope people listen to him.
All right, we'll see how this plays out. And as Dale said, Mike teasing a big announcement coming up Breeders' Cup week. You'll hear more on this topic as we get closer to the championship days. All right, we'll do Right or Wrong all over again next Saturday morning. It's part of this show weekly. One more topic to get to before we get to another weekly segment on the program, the West Point of the Week. And I thought we'd have a little fun here, guys, with a historical segment, because it was on this day 70 years ago that jockey Earl Sandy returned to riding following a 21-year hiatus. That's right, 21-year hiatus as a professional jockey. Sandy, who was 54 at the time, won his first race in a comeback with Miss Wheezy at Jamaica Race Course in Queens, New York. Sandy began his comeback on October 5th, and he ended with that win at Jamaica. He received an ovation from the crowd of more than 18,000 on hand that day. What are some of the greatest comeback stories that we've seen in racing over the years, whether it be from jockeys, trainers, horses, or owners? Tim, what do you think?
I got a couple. One of the obvious ones is, because of the movies, is Seabiscuit, after he got injured following the Great Match Race in 38. He injured himself, and he was off for about a year, and then he came back and won the Santa Anita Handicap, and it was his third start back from a bad leg injury, and Red Pollard was the jockey, and he was himself came back from a bad leg injury. Just a couple others that I have, and I hope that I'm not stealing any from my esteemed colleague.
He already did.
All right, I was going to throw in DeHaas. Were you going to have him?
I had him too.
All right, I'm going to leave you to talk about DeHaas. I'll talk about Gary Stevens. How's that? Gary Stevens was, he's a Hall of Fame jockey. He retired in 2005 for the second time because of knee problems, and then went into TV, but came back to ride in 2013, won the Preakness with Oxbow and the Breeders' Cup Distaff with Beholder and the Classic with Mucho Macho Man. And he was 50 years old when he came back. He finally retired for good in 2018, but that was quite the comeback, I thought, for a Hall of Fame rider who was still able to compete at a high level after being out for that long.
Gary's a great one. I didn't even think about him, but that what he did to come back at the highest level that he left at, that's another one of the great jockeys. There's so many great jockeys that we've been able to see in this game, and that was a good one. But I was going to talk about Seabiscuit too. I didn't think you would go that deep, but that was good, Tim. And of course, the Hoss seems to come up every 6 months in conversations that we have. You know, he came off of a year layoff and won the Breeders' Cup Mile with a great training job by Michael Dickinson. And, you know, that's
almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. And that has to be considered one of the greatest comebacks of all time. And a great job by Michael. You know, horses get hurt, and John Henry, he was off for a long time and came back and won another Arlington Millions. But the Hoss and Seabiscuit, and the name is slipping me for some reason. Sugar McGee's horse that I beat in the Breeders' Cup, we ran second. What was his name when we won with Little Mike? Anyway, he got hurt. Come on,
yeah,
y'all got to help me.
Big time turf horse. Stood at Adena Springs, right?
Yeah, he stood somewhere, but
it wasn't Lure, was it?
No, it was when Little Mike won out at Santa Anita, the turf. And anyway, he had gotten hurt at Gulfstream Park earlier that winter. And Lee, do the research while we're on here. And he got hurt at Gulfstream Park and came back, and his first race back was Breeders' Cup mile and a half.
Point of entry.
And he ran a huge race to be second to Little Mike, and I thought Shug did a great job on him bringing him back. There's so many of them. I think it's a lot easier for a trainer, but I couldn't think of any of them. But for us, we're not athletes. For a horse and a jockey to come back off of long layoffs, that's a pretty difficult thing to do. Those few we've talked about did it at the highest level.
All right, just a few minutes left here in the program. It is time to wrap it up with our West Point of the Week, and want to remind you that if you want to experience the lifestyle of thoroughbred racehorse ownership with the gold standard in racing partnerships, West Point Thoroughbreds, they've been doing it for over 30 years. All you have to do is text HORSE to 66866 to learn about ownership, and you'll learn from the best. That's HORSE to 66866. They are the gold standard in racing partnerships, and remember, message and data rates may apply. Timmy, what is your West Point of the Week?
I'm just going to piggyback a little bit from the thing we just said about the greatest comebacks. I think I am on the verge of one of the greatest comebacks in horse racing history, because I'm going to win our showdown. And I'm way behind now, but by the time the Breeders' Cup is over, I'm going to be singing and dancing in the streets, and it'll be one of the greatest comebacks ever.
Yeah, love it. I wasn't going to mention the showdown. You know, I didn't want to come back and sound arrogant, but good luck, Tim. You know, I asked for a couple extra minutes on my West Point of the Week this week, and I just want to explain to everybody where I've been and why I haven't been around. And, you know, I've always been a party guy and like a little of the nightlife and like to have a drink every once in a while. Well, the last few years has probably gotten a little bit out of control that I wasn't handling it the way I should, and it was time for me to do something about it. And with the help, I want to thank Terry Finley and Debbie Finley, our sponsors for this segment. They helped me get set up, and I went to a rehab for 2 weeks and to quit drinking. And I always thought I could do it on my own, but I figured out when I got there I really couldn't. I needed to detox that vodka, get a hold of your body, and make you crave it, make you have to have it. And Terry set me up. He drove from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and picked me up and drove me down to a rehab in Bowling Green. And they did a great job down there. And I want to thank Jacob for filling in for me while he was there. I want to thank all my owners for the support and all my friends for the support that I've gotten from all of them. And Jake, besides taking over the show, ran the business side of my business while I was gone. And I've been in this game my entire life. I don't think I've ever had taken a real vacation. And, you know, 40 years of 365 days a year of competing for your living and the pressure that goes along with it, as much as anything, I bought into it. I went in, checked my phone in, couldn't make but 1 5-minute phone call a day, and that was always to Jacob. And it did me a lot of good. I think just to get away and live in that little bit of a world and try to help the people around me. But it's been good for me. So I'm 18 days now without a drink, without a desire to drink. And if anybody's out there that has a problem, you know, the people around us know it first. And I wouldn't listen to them for a long time. But, you know, Terry asked me, he said, you want to do this quietly and nobody will find out and go down there and take care of yourself. And I said, no. Because there could be somebody out there that's having a similar problem that thinks there's a stigma about asking somebody for help. And there really isn't. So if anybody out there is listening and you think you have an issue, you may not think it, but if people around you are telling you you do, you might want to listen to them. And it might do some good to take a little time away for yourself. You know, they always say on the airplane when you get ready to take off, if the mask drops, put it on you first. You can't take care of the guy next to you if you're not taking care of yourself. And it did me a lot of good. And I also want to thank all the people in Bowling Green that helped me. But I do want to tell, and I told all the guys that when I got back into my trainer stand at Churchill Downs, I said, I gave you all a couple of your chance while I was drinking way too much. You're all screwed now. I'm coming back strong and sober and taking Kentucky back over. So, but I do. I really want to thank everybody for all the support that I've gotten before and after. And can't believe how good I feel. Didn't realize I felt bad before, but can't believe how good I feel now. And I'm excited about the future. And thank you all for cutting out a couple extra minutes for me to get on my soapbox.
We're proud of you, Dale.
Absolutely.
Thank you, buddy.
Sure. All right, if you have a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim debate, email that topic to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and we'll get it worked into the program. Dale, happy to have you back, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Yes, one other thing, too. I really want to thank Sammy for sticking with me all this time when I get out and act a fool and get a little too wild. And she's never gone anywhere. She yelled at me a lot and put the clothes outside the door a lot, but she was there to pick me up the day I walked out.
Good for you.
Amen, brother. Stay strong. Dale
Romans.
All
right, fellas. Next week.
Tim Wilkin on I Ask, They Answer, all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. Stay with me. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.